I know it sounds like preacher speak, but I want to say first thing this morning that I firmly believe that God prepares us in advance for changes that only He sees coming. And I think that's why on the night that was leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, He walks through a garden and He pauses and tells those who are with Him, His students, His disciples, we often call them, those individuals who had eaten with Him and they had slept beside Him, they had listened to His teachings, they had spent life with Him for 3 years. He goes and He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. So don't let your heart be troubled. You know, very few of us enjoy change. I've yet really to run across anyone who enjoys the constant change of life, but Facebook reminds us all every so often that we just do not look the same. We don't look the same that we did a year ago or 5 years ago or even 10 years ago. Now, even though in our minds, I know we think we look the same. JD, you think you look the same. I know you do. I think that way. We think nothing has changed. But then one of those social media fads hit and we start scrolling through pictures of ourselves from the 1990s, right? I mean, cue the Goo Goo Dolls. Let's see. Here we are, 1990s. What was Chris looking like? I even threw one in there for lovely Miss Tanya. But I also asked the rest of our staff, I'm like, hey, what were you guys doing in the 90s? Look at this next picture. That's our youth minister, Aubrey Wood. Yeah. That is Aubrey. He and his brothers, by the way, had to wear those sweatshirts and then go to the Opryland Hotel out in public and get their picture made at Christmas. Yeah, that's what he was doing in the 90s. How about this next shot? No, that's not Colin. That is Sean White, early in the decade and then later on as he grew up. Now, the best dressed, I think, that for our staff has to go to this next one, who in the 90s, Ashley Francis, was rocking the Easter outfits better than anybody. How many of you ladies, you had the Easter outfit and you did? You had the bow or you had a hat? Anybody, right, in the room? We got it? Now, not everybody could rock the hat and the dress. Some people had to have a little extra. Some people had to have the right background for the photo, like our children's minister, Miss Brittany. It's electric, right? Yeah, that's Brittany Michelle, right? We asked Stephen to send a picture, and this is the one that he sent. This is what he was doing in the 90s. For those of you who do not know, Stephen Walker is our minister for our young adult community, okay? Yeah, he wasn't around. All right, so changes force us to go through transitions, and transitions always cause loss, and that loss produces grief. And here's the deal. We grieve over things that we no longer have. And then that grief expresses itself through anxiety and through sadness and through depression and even through anger. And so what we do, we stubbornly resist any type of change because we do not want to lose the routines and the interactions that bring us joy. And it was the same for those first followers of Jesus. Before taking an evening stroll with Jesus through Jerusalem's conservatory, the disciples had shared the Passover meal with their teacher. It had been a time of both celebration, but also a time of concern. Because after the meal, Jesus told them, I will be with you only a little longer. He said, I'm going away. And to the disciples, to say that they were shocked, it would have been an understatement. Because they had all of these reasons for great optimism. I mean, their traveling ministry was at the height of its popularity. Their kingdom message and the amazing miracles that they had been performing, it had given people hope. And some of those people had nothing to hope for their entire life. Just a few days earlier, Jerusalem had welcomed them as conquering heroes. Jesus was the topic of conversation. How could he go away? But more importantly, where could he be going? I think the moment of confusion is a good reminder for us that even those who are closest to Jesus can have their apple cart turned over. You get a surprising diagnosis. There's a sudden dip into the savings. There's a restructuring that happens at work. There's a rupture within your home. And friends, I know for a fact that some of you have experienced these very changes and others just over the last few weeks. You had planned on spending your retirement years traveling. You didn't want to move. You were happy and content with the way that things were, but life demanded that the status quo had to go. And I don't know, maybe you thought that your relationship with God would keep you in the clear. That as long as Jesus was by your side, you were exempt from all of the other sudden changes that seemed to plague everyone else. I mean, every day with Jesus should be Palm Sunday, right? Every day should be the day where everybody is happy and there's celebration and there's praises. At least that's what the disciples thought. I wonder how you responded the first time you realized that being a Jesus follower did not come with a "your life will never change" guarantee. Did you get angry? Probably did. Did you panic? Absolutely. I mean, we panic at the mention of change. Graduation is coming. Hide the women and children. There's a new boss. Run for your lives. Or just compare yourself to an old picture. Friends, change is inevitable even for those who are closest to God. But the good news is that also what is inevitable is God's presence. So he says, look, I want you to remain in me. I want you to stay connected because I'm going to remain in you. Change shakes us, but God sends us a promise to stabilize us because we will never grieve being without God. I guess it's here that we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded that Jesus' vine and branch lesson came in the middle of a larger conversation that he was having with his students about change and loss. He said, I'm not going to be here with you forever. In fact, I'm only going to be with you just for a little while longer. And I'm sure that he looked out and he saw the fear that was present there in his students' eyes and the disbelief that they had. So he said, I am going to ask the Father and he will give you another helper. To be with you, get this, to be with you forever. Jesus promised another. He said, I'm going to send you another helper. But he doesn't use a word that means different. He actually uses a word that means another, just like the first one. Just like the first one. And who was the first one? Well, it was Jesus himself. And so the assurance that Jesus then is giving to his disciples is this. Look, I am going away. And you're about to go through a new season in your life. And much is going to be different. But one thing is going to remain constant. And that's my presence. You will enjoy the presence of another helper. He says the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. He said, I am leaving you with a gift of peace of mind and heart. But from the disciples' perspective, I'm telling you, I don't think this seemed like a very good gift. All right, so in their mind, they're thinking, we're going to trade Jesus, God in the flesh, for the wind. That was the actual name there of the Holy Spirit, the pneuma. Doesn't seem like a very good trade from their perspective. And maybe we would agree, because oftentimes we think of Jesus as being the varsity and the Holy Spirit is kind of the JV that gets in there at the last minute when everything else has already been kind of taken care of. But from Jesus' perspective, it was actually going to be better for the disciples that he left. And if you look in chapter 16, again, this same conversation is going on. In verse 7, he tells his disciples, "But I tell you the truth, it is going to be for your good," he says. "It's better that I am going away, because unless I go, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is not going to come. But if I go, I'm going to send him to you." So the Son of God is saying to his disciples, it's just better. I know that you enjoy that triumphal entry, and I know that you enjoyed seeing everybody finally giving praise to me and to focus on God, but it's better actually if I go. And did we know why? Why is it better to have the Holy Spirit than to have Jesus in the flesh? I think it might be simple. See, Jesus could be with them, but the Holy Spirit would live in them. And that makes a big difference. Having God with you is good, but having God in you is better. You see, when you place your faith in Christ Jesus, as Corey demonstrated in his baptism, Christ places his Spirit within you. Not a strange spirit, but the same spirit. An encouraging spirit. A healing spirit. You see, what Jesus did for his followers, his Spirit does for you. Jesus taught and the Spirit teaches. And Jesus healed and the Spirit heals. And Jesus comforted and his Spirit comforts. And so as Jesus sends us into new seasons, he sends a helper to go with us. And that word helper, it means that somebody is coming alongside. Someone is coming alongside the other person. And so Jesus is talking about an abiding presence. And so when he says, look, I want you to remain connected to the vine. I want you to abide with me because I'm going to abide with you. He's talking about an abiding presence, the Spirit of God that would give the disciples a peace of mind and heart. And let's just be honest, wouldn't that be great to have? Wouldn't it be great to actually have a little peace of mind and heart when you're standing at the cemetery at the gravesite? Or when you walk out of the doctor's office and they couldn't find the heartbeat on the ultrasound? As you look down at the divorce papers and you wanted the marriage to work, you head out of the office with a box from work after being told that your services are no longer required. You look around in your faith community and realize that you're not seeing the same people and things don't seem the same. In those moments and in moments similar, the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and there is a peace that comes from knowing that I don't have to go through any of these changes by myself. I'm not weathering this storm on my own. I'm not fighting this battle alone because God's Spirit is with me. Not just with me. God's Spirit is in me. And so you might grieve the loss of a close family member, or you might grieve the loss of your own health and mobility. You might even grieve the loss of a church ministry or a church tradition, but friends, you will never have to grieve the loss of God. And where God's Spirit resides, there is peace of mind and heart. So do not let your hearts be troubled. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. You see, God is faithful. And he has promised to be with you and in you. But let's be honest, faithfulness is just boring. You know? Faithfulness, by definition, is predictable. It's habitual. It's sturdy. It's routine. I mean, if we call a car faithful, we mean it's functional. It's not fast. It's not flashy. It's just old faithful. Faithful. When I talk to a prospective bride or groom, I'll often ask them to compile a list of expectations. And they put those down, the things that they have for one another. It always stuns me, and I've told you this, that we have to sit there and discuss their expectations. It always stuns me when neither person puts faithfulness on their list of expectations. And I've asked before, why? Why didn't you put that you expect your spouse to be faithful? And you know what the answer is? Well, that's just a given. Everybody knows that. What are they saying? Faithfulness is boring. We just take it for granted. Author Mark Buchanan writes, "We live amidst surpassing wonders, but most of it has become run-of-the-mill. We dwell among endless miracles that, repeated day after day, have grown tedious. We are lavished with gifts that we now expect or ignore or begrudge." I mean, after all, I mean, when's the last time that someone really got excited about the sun coming up, right? Woohoo! Sun's up, buttercup! All right! No, we expect it. We anticipate it. We don't run through the house banging on all the doors saying, "Guess what? The sun came up today! Woo! Woo! Hey, everybody, we're going to Ruth's Chris today." Why? Because the sun came up. Woo! I mean, if that happened in your house, you would go somewhere, but it would be to the hospital, right? I mean, you would take that family member and you would go get them checked out because something is not right. Of course the sun came up, because the sun is what? The sun is faithful. And faithfulness is boring until it's gone. Just ask anyone who's ever had to deal with the infidelity of a spouse, the betrayal of a child. See, we must learn to enjoy God's faithfulness without taking it for granted. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. The disciples who had spent multiple years being instructed and coached by Jesus were nevertheless unprepared to begin their mission unless they were empowered by the Spirit. And the acknowledgement that the Spirit of God dwells in you is an acknowledgement that you by yourself can do nothing. And now Jesus' words take on a greater meaning, right? I mean, it's right here in red. It's right here in John chapter 15. Remain in me, I will remain in you, because apart from me, you can do what? Say it out loud. Nothing. Oh, you can make a decent living in the world. You can raise a family and you can have a lot of fun. But in terms of the spiritual dynamics of your life, in terms of empowering your life to make a difference in a world that is filled with constant turmoil and change, in terms of being the salt, in terms of being the light in this world, you, just you, without the abiding presence of the Spirit of God in your life, can do nothing. And we've experienced this. We fail to pray. We fail to be still. We fail to seek God's counsel and wisdom. And then we wonder why we're anxious and why we're so tired and why we're guilt-ridden and depressed and frustrated. You see, we try to achieve God-honoring results with human-centric strategies. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter the amount of podcasts you listen to. It doesn't matter the amount of books that you read. It's not about some catchy slogan that you have, a life goal that you put there on TikTok. If you do not begin and end with God, you will be overwhelmed by life's changes. And so Jesus says, knowing what is coming, he looks at his disciples and says, "Stay with me." He says, "Look at this vine. See the branches. Understand, I am that vine. You are the branches. I am the source of nourishment. I am the source of strength. I am the source of protection. Don't leave." Stay. In his book, Transitions, William Bridges says that it's not those events that are outside of us that make the transition. It's the inner reorientation and the self-redefinition that you have to go through in order to incorporate any of those changes into your life. In other words, he's saying that it's not what's happening to me on the outside. It's what's going on the inside. It's what's going on in my heart. It's what's going on in my mind that causes the greatest amount of turmoil. And it's why Jesus said, I'm going to leave you with a gift. And if you will stay with me, if you will remain, if you will stay connected to the vine, you will have this gift and you will have peace of mind and heart. Those things that get all been out of shape because things change. And so you have cancer and Jesus says, remain in me. You hear the words, there's nothing else we can do, and Jesus says, remain in me. You're told we're downsizing, and Jesus says, you need to remain in me. Someone says, I don't love you anymore, but Jesus says, remain in me. You don't get accepted, and you don't make the team, and Jesus says, you better remain in me. Stay with me. Stay connected. Author Bette Dickinson says about these moments, unlike the natural seasons where we generally expect the spirit to experience the resurrection of spring within a few months, these seasons of grief and loss are all consuming and there is no timeline for them. And when we are going through a prolonged period of winter, it's hard to imagine that there could ever be a spring. And it's during moments like this, friends, where we need a strong connection with God most of all. Because here's the deal. Most of us see life like this. Most of us see life like this. There we are, and we have our goal. We have our destination. And we're going to strike off because we're going to run the race, right? And we're going to finish strong. All we have to do is start, and we'll finish the journey. But we don't see the reality. You see, thankfully, God sees things the way they truly are. I mean, this is more like life, right? This is more how things go. It's not linear, and there are all these obstacles, there are all these difficulties and problems that come. I mean, we face different challenges. There are rivers that we have to cross, but not just rivers. We have rivers that have sharks in them, right? Let's put a shark up there so that we can know. Yeah, let's get a shark. I mean, we got rivers that we go through and we got sharks and not only that, but all of a sudden there are these places where the whole ground just opens up and we just fall down. And it's not just rocks, there's snakes. Can you believe it? There's snakes that come up in our life during these seasons of struggle and pain. And if we ever get out from the snakes and we begin to go up and down and there are thorns in our way, it's not just any thorns. These are zombie thorns. I mean, these are conditions where, man, you better have somebody with you. You better not be in this alone, because somehow if you're able to get through it, you think, finally, I have made it. Finally, I have reached the promised land. All of a sudden, the sun goes away and the clouds come and it begins to rain and there are swamp puppies in there. The more it rains, and you know, it's a wonder any of us keep going, given to how life really is. On that special day, centuries ago, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, I'm sure that there are people who are with him who were thought, we have made the finish line. We have made it. I mean, there have been some difficult times, but we have made it. But Jesus knew there were still some sharks, and there were still snakes, and there were still zombies, and there were still alligators that they were going to have to deal with. And so he prepared them in advance. He said, I've got a helper for you. And if you'll remain with me, I'm going to remain with you. You see, this is actually how things are. This is really what God sees. It is not you having to go through all of these challenges alone, but it is God going with you. You see, God's presence is promised during every unique moment of life. There are some seasons where it's easier to see Him than others. But there will never be a day where you will have to face life without God. Can I just get an oh yeah? Man, that's good stuff, right? Because this means that there will never be a change or a transition that you will have to face alone. That God's Spirit is with you through every birth and through every graduation, through every job, through every marriage, through every divorce, and yes, even through death. You're not alone in your bedroom. You're not alone in the hospital room. You're not alone at the courthouse. You are not alone in the church house because God's Spirit is present. And so His promise allows us then the gift of peace of mind and heart as we all journey to our own Jerusalem. Because remember, the shouts of Hosanna can quickly turn to crucify Him. And even though today might be a red letter moment, and as we have come together, we've celebrated with Corey and his family, this is one of those days of celebration, and this is a day maybe that you might end up writing down in your calendar, you might put in a journal because of something special that is going to be happening today, but something in your life this week is going to change. And you could be on the verge of a new chapter or a new season. You know, if I still looked like I did in 1994, something would be wrong. I was created to, and I was created for change. And the same is true for you. There is going to be change in your life. There is going to be transition. And with that transition, there is going to be grief because there is going to be loss. But through every single change, you will never have to grieve life without God. So Jesus says, I am the vine. Friends, you are the branches. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No matter what's still to come in Jerusalem. So Father, we say thank you today. We say thank you for the fact that as Jesus entered into the holy city, he did so with the reality of knowing what was to come, and that his thoughts were not on himself, but that his thoughts were on those who were with him, those who were his friends and family. His thoughts were even on us all of these centuries later. And so he prepared them. He told them to stay, to remain, because a helper was coming. And we celebrate the fact that we have experienced that helper, that we have the Holy Spirit present in our life within this church family. And so, Father, we ask that we might be able to lean into that truth this week, that we might go from this place having experienced the celebrations of singing Hosanna, Hosanna, but knowing that there is still more to our Jerusalem. Father, may we not run away. May we stay connected to your Son. And through the help of your Holy Spirit, Father, may we live our lives in such a way that declares we know that Easter is coming. In the name of Jesus, our risen Savior, we pray. Amen. God has prepared you in advance for things that only He sees coming. I believe that the bottom of my being. We're going to sing and praise God for that truth today. And maybe you just need to come before this church body and you just need to say, you know what? I am going through change. I'm going through transition. There is grief. There is loss. And I need comfort. I need comfort from the helper, and I need comfort from those other disciples, those other students who know what it's like to be connected to the vine. Or maybe you'd like to come because you saw Corey and you were like, I want what he's got. I want that Spirit of God living within me. I want to be baptized into Christ. We'll celebrate with you. We want you to know that if you just need some time by yourself or with one other individual, one of our elders, one of the pastors of this congregation will be in our prayer room, which is located just behind the doors there in our lobby. If you'd like to go there for conversation, you're welcome to. Let's go through this week with courage, with conviction, knowing that Easter is coming. Let's stand and give God praise.